Amen. Thank you, Andrew, Abigail. Revelation chapter number 2. We have been looking at the seven churches that are mentioned here in Revelation 2 and 3. And we've come to the fourth church, the church at Thyatira. And we are not going to spend all of our time here tonight, Lord willing, maybe Wednesday night or maybe next Sunday. But I want to preach an introduction message, really, or not an introduction message, but a message to help us understand what is going on here at the church at Thyatira. And so let's read just a few verses here in Revelation 2, and then we will go to 1 Timothy chapter number 2. Last week, as we looked at Pergamos, we said that doctrine matters. Doctrine is important. What the Bible says matters. And it mattered in Pergamos, it mattered in Thyatira, and it still matters today. Doctrine matters. Chapter 2, verse 18. The Bible says, "And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, These things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes, like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works." And again, it begins with the commendation. What they're doing well, and they were doing some things well. He said, "I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest." And we know what the word suffer means. It means you are allowing, you suffer this lady to continue to do what she's doing. And he said, "Thou sufferest that woman Jezebel." Now, by the way, I don't believe the woman, and I do believe he's speaking about a specific woman. I do not believe necessarily that her name may have been Jezebel. It could have been. I believe the point is, he is making a point that this lady is as a Jezebel. And we'll spend some more time in the next time we're here in Revelation 2 speaking about that. But he said, "Because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols." What you have at the church at Thyatira, at least one of the issues that the Lord had, was this woman that was usurping her authority to teach, but also what she was teaching. But the greater point was, is that they were suffering her, they were tolerating her to have a position that she should not have had. And so I want us to take our Bibles and go to 1 Timothy chapter number 2. And I'll say from the get-go, the passage that we're going to look at tonight draws much contempt from our world today. In the 21st century American society and philosophy, this passage is a passage that is mocked. It's a passage that is scorned. It's a passage that is thought of as archaic and chauvinistic. But let's remember tonight that God's Word is timeless. It's timeless. Doesn't matter if it was 6,000 years ago. It doesn't matter if it was 50 years ago. God's Word is timeless. It's relevant. And I hear people today and I hear pastors today talking about being relevant. And I understand what they're saying. And I'm not against somebody saying that. But the truth is, God's Word is always relevant. By the way, I don't have to make it relevant. It's relevant. It meets and it speaks to every need that I have. It doesn't matter the time that I live in. And so let's look here in verse number 8, 1 Timothy chapter number 2. And I just want to help as we lay this foundation for Revelation 2 and the church at Thyatira and what they had, or at least the issue that the Lord Jesus Christ had with them. One of the issues was this lady that had taken some authority in the church there and in teaching. And some might say, well, why is that a big issue? It's a big issue because doctrine matters and because God has ordained order. He has ordained order. And we find that here in 1 Timothy chapter number 2. Verse number 8, the Bible says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also. Now, when it says in like manner also, it's referring back to verse number 8 when he speaks about the men praying, but more specifically, lifting up holy hands. He said, in like manner, I want the women to be holy. Just as the men, as they pray, lifting up holy hands, their hands better be holy when they lift them up. But in like manner, I want the women to be holy as well. He says, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. And so he says, in like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness. And then he says, not with broided hair or gold. But here's what I want you to be adorned with. Not with broided hair, not with gold, not with pearls, not with costly array. But I want you to be adorned with good works. That's what I want you to be adorned with. Why? Because that, in verse number 10, is becoming of a woman who professes to be godly. And so tonight, and we're gonna look at the remainder of the chapter as well, verses 11 through 15. But tonight I want to bring you a message entitled, Dress as You Profess. And by the way, tonight's message is not necessarily about dress. It's really not. That's going to be a small part of the message tonight. The message tonight is about the role that God has given men and women, and especially in the church as it relates to Revelation chapter number 2. And we are not to usurp that role that God has laid out for us. Even in the year 2020, even in the 21st century. Look, we know this tonight, and I feel comfortable that we're grounded in this. At least I hope we are. I think we are, that we're grounded in this. But God has never given an exception in His Word for a woman to teach men when it comes to the church. He's never given an exception for that. And so, even in the year 2020, we need to make sure that we stay true to that, because doctrine matters. Doctrine matters. So let's pray, and then we'll get right into the message tonight. I want to give you several things about godly women tonight, but I want us to see this. Dress as you profess. Ladies, let me ask you tonight, do you profess to be a Christian? Do you profess to be godly, or at least have a desire to be godly? And I would say all of you do. All of you profess to have a desire to be godly. Okay, he says in verse number 10, which becometh. It looks good. It's attractive. It becomes women professing godliness. Look, he says, look, if you're adorned with good works, if you're adorned with modest apparel and shamefacedness and sobriety, that becomes women who profess to be godly. And so let's look at that tonight. Let's ask God to help us tonight. And by the way, ladies, you can take what we're going to look at tonight and help some other ladies. Just like we talked about this morning. You may have family members, you may have co-workers, you may even know some folks in our church that struggle with this, that struggle with submitting to the roles that God has given us. Okay, we'll take what the Bible says. We're not talking about emotions tonight. We're not talking about our opinions. We're not talking about feelings. We're talking about what God's Word says. And we can take what God's Word says, and we can help individuals to line up with the Word of God. That's what we need in our day and time today, is we need churches, we need families that line up with what the Bible says. Father, I pray that You would help and teach tonight. Father, I pray that You would help me to be clear. I pray that we would be truthful with Your Word. And Father, I pray that we would never bow to the pressure of society regarding any issue, even in the issue that we'll look at tonight. And I pray that You would help all of us, not just our ladies tonight, But I pray as we look at this that our men would be stirred, that they are to dress as they profess as well. God, you have given them, or you have given them a role. You've made them to be the men. And Father, help us not to shirk our responsibilities. Many times the ladies step up because the men just step back. And so, Father, I pray that you'd help all of us tonight and teach us. And Father, we'll thank you and praise you for what you'll do in these next few moments. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Number one tonight, I'll give us three statements about godly women. Number one, godly women live soberly. Godly women live soberly. The Bible says in verse number 9, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety. And so first of all tonight, godly women live soberly. Sobriety means self-control. It means complete control of one's passions. Shamefacedness, it means very simply, it means reverence. It means reverence. And so the Bible says here, in like manner also, if the ladies are going to be holy, like he mentions the men in verse number 8, he said the women are to adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, self-control, temperance, if you will. And so first of all, godly women live soberly. Soberly in what? Well, first of all tonight, sober in their apparel. Sober in their apparel. He speaks in verse number 9 about their dress, that they dress modestly. And again, modest is orderly, if you will. Not gaudy, but it's orderly. So modest, ladies are to dress modest, shamefaced, and with sobriety, not with broided hair. And again, just like in 1 Peter chapter number 3, I do not believe the point is that ladies can't fix their hair, that they can't wear jewelry, they can't have nice things. I don't believe that's the case at all. I believe the case is, or what he's teaching us, is that ought not be what's important to us. Now, if y'all will help me a little bit tonight, this will go a lot faster. But if I don't feel like you're getting it, we're going to stay in some areas for a while tonight, okay? If I feel like I'm getting some pushback, then we're going to stay there for a while. Because this is the Bible. And it doesn't matter my opinion, and it doesn't matter what I think about an issue. By the way, it doesn't matter what my wife thinks about an issue. It matters what God thinks about an issue. It doesn't matter what your wife thinks about an issue tonight, dear sir. It matters what the Bible says about an issue tonight. And by the way, dear men, it doesn't matter what you think about an issue tonight. It matters what God's Word says tonight. And so that's what we want to see. They live sober in their apparel. And it speaks to immodesty and flashy apparel. And so let me say this tonight, and I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time here because I know the claws come out when you talk about dress and music. But let me just ask us this tonight, men and women alike. Am I more interested, whether it's my dress or my actions or anything, am I more interested in pleasing and praising God and my family, or in pleasing and praising this world? Which am I more? Do I want to dress in such a way that the people I work with say, oh, that's cute, that's so beautiful. Boy, that's trendy. You're in style. Am I more worried about the people that I work with, or am I more worried or concerned about what God Almighty thinks about what I'm wearing or how I'm dressed? I was with my mom the past couple of days, and we were just watching the news, and they were doing a story there in Nashville, and they were interviewing some individuals in downtown Nashville. And I just looked at my mom, and it was a group of about 20 ladies. I just looked at my mom, and I said, you're going to have to turn that over. So those young ladies were wearing absolutely nothing. And I mean almost absolutely nothing. I said, Mama, you're going to have to turn that to another news channel. Look, just because it gets hot doesn't mean the clothes come off. And it seems like when the temperature goes up, the amount of clothing goes down. Now, I understand. Please don't misunderstand. I understand I'm not going to wear a sweater in July. I get that. But who am I more concerned about pleasing? And I don't understand this either, why young ladies want to... All right, let's go on. Sober in their apparel. Number two, sober in their attitude. Sober in their apparel. Number two, sober in their attitude. Take your Bible and go to 1 Peter with me tonight if you would. 1 Peter chapter number 3, sober in their apparel. I told you I wasn't going to talk much about dress, so I'm not. Sober in their apparel. Number two, sober in their attitude. 1 Peter chapter number 3, verse number 3. The Bible says, "Who's adorned it, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit." The attitude, a sober attitude, a temperate attitude, if you will. And we know 1 Peter chapter number 3, he says, look in verse number 1, "If you have a husband, likewise ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation, coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart." Look, men are much more concerned about a sweet spirit than they are about everything that's on the outside. Look, all of that goes away one day. I'm not just trying to be mean by any stretch of the imagination, but look, that youth and that beauty that we have when we're 20, it happens for men, it happens for women, happens for all of us, but that youth goes away. But what's on the inside is there. It's there. Beauty's only skin deep. But what do they say? Ugly goes to the bone? I don't know about that, but that's what they say, whoever they are. But let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God. Look at that, of what? What? In the sight of God, a meek and quiet spirit is what? It's priceless, of great price, the Bible says. "For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement." Take your Bibles and go back to the book of Titus with me, if you would, real quickly. Titus chapter number 2. Godly women live soberly, sober in their apparel, sober in their attitude. That meek and quiet spirit. Titus chapter 2, verse number 3, it says, "The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be what? Sober. To be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed." Sober in their attitude and in their apparel. And then thirdly, sober in their attraction. And what I mean by that is what we said in 1 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 10, "Which becometh women professing godliness." Let me ask all of us tonight, do we make Christianity attractive? He said, "Which becometh women professing godliness." A woman who says that she loves God and is loud and boisterous and doesn't have a meek and quiet spirit is not attractive for Christianity. It doesn't make Christianity look good. And that's what the idea in verse number 10 is, "Which becometh women professing godliness." We're not worried about the broided hair, the gold, the pearls, or costly array. We're worried or we're concerned. We want to put forth God Almighty. We want to honor Him in what we do. "But which becometh women professing godliness with good works." Godly women live soberly, sober in their apparel, in their attitude, in their attraction. Becometh, becometh. Look, not gaudiness, not glitziness, but godliness and goodness. Not gaudiness and not glitziness. That's what he's talking about in verse 9. The modesty, the broided hair, the gold, the pearls, the costly array. Not gaudiness or glitziness, but godliness and goodness. By the way, that's for all of us tonight. Men, that's for us tonight. Look, we can come in here with our suits on, looking good, our hair combed, our shoes shine. We can have all that, everything right in order, but our hearts are bad. Our hearts aren't right with God. Then look, we're no different than in verse number 9 when all we're concerned about is the broided hair, the outside looking good, but inside we're not professing God, or we are professing godliness, but we're not manifesting godliness. Dress as you profess. Number one, godly women live soberly. Number two tonight, godly women. And this is where a lot of people, a lot of ladies, and again, I'm not talking about our ladies. I think we're grounded in this. But a lot of ladies, the hair on the back of their neck stands up. But number two, godly women learn silently. Godly women learn silently. Notice verse number 11. We see, first of all, the boundary established. We see the boundary established in verses 11 and 12. He says, "Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach." And see, that was the problem at the church at Thyatira. They had suffered that woman, Jezebel, to teach. And it was bad enough that they had suffered her to teach, but they were allowing her to teach false doctrine. They were even allowing her to seduce church members into committing fornication and committing spiritual adultery, if you will, idolatry, in eating food that had been offered to idols. And he said, "But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety." Number one, godly women live soberly. But number two, godly women learn silently. There is a boundary that is established. And when it comes to men and women, the woman is to learn in silence when it comes to spiritual things. Now, we know very clearly, I just had you there, let's go back there real quickly to Titus chapter number 2. We know that ladies are to teach other ladies, are they not? The Bible's very clear about that. Titus chapter number 2, in verse number 4, that they, speaking of the aged women, may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And so look, the Bible is very clear. Yes, ladies teach other ladies, but when it comes to adult men and adult ladies, there's not to be a usurping of authority of a lady teaching a man. If we ever had a single lady missionary that came through to present her work, we would not have her preach. Okay, we wouldn't even have her teach from this pulpit. Absolutely, we would allow her to teach our ladies, but we would not allow her to teach our men. And by the way, there comes a time, look, our teenage boys need to be taught by a man. They need to be taught by a man, not a lady. Why? Because I believe it comes right back to this point right here. Doctrine matters, does it not? Doesn't matter what year, doctrine matters, and we want to be clear and we want to be square with the Word of God. If we're going to look, if the Lord Jesus Christ is going to call a woman like this, Jezebel, don't you think He meant business? Now we're going to look, when we get back to Revelation 2, we're going to go back and see a little bit about this lady Jezebel, but we know when we went through our study of the kings of Israel, we know what kind of lady she was. She was the leader, if you will. Ahab was spineless. She was the leader. She usurped his authority. Now, he wasn't any better, but she usurped his authority. She brought idol worship to the nation of Israel. And she didn't bring it. It was already there, but she increased it, if you will. But godly women learn silently. There's a boundary established by God. Secondly, there's a basis explained. There's a boundary established, verses 11 and 12. There is a basis, a reason, if you will, explained in verses 13 and 14. And very simply, it is God's order. Notice what he says in verse number 13. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. Notice verse 14. And Adam was not deceived. Adam wasn't deceived. Now, Adam takes all of the responsibility, doesn't he? Romans 5 is very clear about that. It is his fault. Romans 5 says, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. Speaking of Adam. Okay, but the Bible says here, for Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Eve was deceived, Adam was just disobedient. And because of that, God set up an order. And look, please, because you may say, well, Pastor, I know examples that are different than that. But here's the truth. God said the man is to be in authority because the lady is more easily deceived than the man. That's what he's saying. He said Adam wasn't deceived. And Pastor, why do you think that is? I think possibly because ladies are more tender than men are. Ladies are more emotional than men are. Well, some men. I tell you, the day and time we live in, I see a lot of emotional men. That's not good. That's not a good thing. You say, Pastor, men aren't supposed to show their emotions? No, look, men cry every now and then. That's okay. Clears the eyes. But a man who cries all the time, that's not natural. That's not normal. God made the man stronger physically, emotionally. And I believe that's part of why, you may say, Pastor, that's just your opinion. Okay, but he put it in order for a reason. He said because Eve was deceived and Adam was not. And so the Bible says, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Hey, take your Bibles and go back to the book of 1 Corinthians with me. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. Look, all we're doing tonight is just showing you how serious what is happening in Revelation chapter 2, that's not the only place that it's spoken about. In Revelation 2, when it talks about this Jezebel, this lady who is usurping her authority, look, Paul had already spoken to that. Paul had already spoken to it in 1 Timothy. Paul had already spoken to it in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, that God had set an order. So we see the boundary established. We're talking about godly women learn silently. There's a boundary established. There's a basis explained. And the basis, the reason, is that God has an order. Now that order was rejected. And that order is being rejected today. Women want to be men, men want to be women, children want to be the parents. Everything's out of order. Okay, but God set things in order. Just like He set His creation in order. He set the creation of the family, of the church, of government. He set all of that in order. And by the way, God does everything orderly. Look at your bodies. Does everything very orderly. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, verse number 1. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head, for that is even all one as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. You remember, how did God create the woman? He took the rib out of the man. And that's what what's being spoken of here. But the woman of the man. Neither, notice verse 9, neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. And so the basis explained, there is an order. God has set order. He set order in the family. He has set order in the church. And look, the authority and the accuracy of God's word is always true. Now, it will be questioned and it will be rejected, but it never takes away the fact that it will always be true. And in the time and day that we live, we need to stay true to God's word. Well, Pastor, I think women make better decisions than men sometimes. I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with it. My wife has kept me from making many bad decisions. She gives good counsel. And this has nothing, and see, this is the problem. Women in our day, it's not just our day, it's always been this way. But women think that because of these passages that somehow God made women inferior to men. That's not the case at all. He made us different. He made us equally valuable, but He made us equally different for a reason, for a purpose, for a role. I can't do everything that women can do, and women can't do, my wife can't do everything I can do. Now, I'll say this. I don't make my daughter do hardly any of the outside jobs. She doesn't cut the grass. She could. I think she'd like to sometimes. I think she's done it occasionally, but she doesn't cut the grass. She doesn't weed eat the ditch. She doesn't weed eat anything for that matter. And right now she's saying, praise God. You know why? Because I want her to learn how to take care of a home. Her husband one day needs to take care of the outside. You say, Pastor, women can't do anything outside. That's not what I said. But a woman is to learn, a young lady is to learn how to take care of a home. We just read that in Titus 2, right? Okay. So I, as her father, don't need to be teaching her how necessarily to change the oil in the car. Well, Pastor, she needs to know that. Well, I don't disagree with that either. But I'm not teaching her to do that. I'm not teaching her to weed eat and how to fix the car and do all these things. Because if he's worth anything, her husband's going to do that one day. Well, what if she never gets married? Then her brothers will do it for her. That's Bible. But see, we've gotten our roles off. And again, as we said before, the men want to act like women and the women want to... We got a lot of stay-at-home dads today. I don't think that's right. I don't think that's Bible. I don't think it's Bible at all. Well, she makes a whole lot more than he does. I still don't think that's Bible. I've heard recently, you watch commercials, you watch the news, I've heard so many people bemoaning how hard it is for women today during the quarantine because they have to take care of their kids. They have to cook. They have to clean. They have to do all of these jobs. And I think to myself, that's what ladies have always done. It's nothing new. It's new to our generation. It's new to the last couple of generations because they haven't done it. That's what women down through the ages have always done. They've taken care of their families. They've cooked. They've taught. Why is that so different today? Because the devil doesn't fight fair. And because the devil is deceitful. And because the devil has gotten us to believe a lie. That we don't have to abide by the roles that are in the Word of God. By the way, he's gotten kids to believe that too. You don't have to obey the role in the Word of God. You don't have to be obedient to your mom and dad. You make your own decisions. I've been listening. I heard a statement this week that I thought was very telling. I heard a statement this week and they were talking about college football coaches and how now the tables have turned and the players get to determine all the rules now. I thought, oh my goodness, what kind of football team are you going to have if the players get to make all the rules? I heard of one coach who, one college football coach who would not allow his, during the season, would not allow his players to tweet and to text a lot just to keep their minds focused on what was right. And boy, they called him a racist because he wouldn't allow them to do that. And I'm thinking to myself, that's my daddy would just call that a disciplinarian. No matter what color your skin is. You come to play football for me, then you're going to do what I tell you to do. You see, we've got it all twisted. We've got it all turned. Godly women learn silently. The boundary established. The basis explained. Number three, the blessing expected. Look again there in 1 Timothy chapter number 2. Verse number 15, notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing. And by the way, it's not talking about spiritual salvation, but what it's saying there is that the mother has the opportunity to take those children and to raise them up. And honestly, she can have just as much influence as any man can have because she's raising those children that are going to rule and reign one day. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved. See, if women would look and say, you know what? God has given me this great role to be a mother, to be a homemaker, to raise these children, to show them what the Word of God says, and to take that role seriously and to actually engage in it and put some effort in it, look what could happen to this world. Look at the children she could raise, children who love God and who want to serve God and who are going to be preachers one day or just good godly laymen. But we're so busy trying to do everything else. We're so busy trying to do what society tells us we have to do. Society makes fun of ladies who stay at home. You fill out paperwork today for anything, and what does your wife do? She's a homemaker. Say, listen here, pal. She works 10 times harder than you do. Make fun of you for that today. But I don't care how many people make fun. We just need to stay with the Word of God. You say, Pastor, you believe that a woman shouldn't work at all? I didn't say that. Proverbs 31 woman went and bought a field and raised crops and sold it. But we've allowed society today to tell us we've got to do this, this, and this because you have to have this, this, and this. And we have forgotten many ladies all across our world, all across our nation, have forgotten what the great reward is. It's not a 5,000 square foot house. It's children raised at her knee and taught the Word of God. That's the great reward. That's the great treasure. Notwithstanding, the blessing expected. You see, if we'll get our minds right about what's important and about our God-given roles, and we'll get our minds right about what is truly a reward and a treasure, he says, notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety, teaching them and training them in faith and charity and in holiness and in sobriety. Godly women learn silently the boundary established. And see, here's the thing. When you make that statement, many times society thinks, well, you're just a dictator and you never want a woman to say anything. That's not what the Bible says. And by the way, I think if I went around to just about every husband in here tonight, that's not their heart. They're not the dictator in their home. But they are the head of the home because God has made them that. And boy, when we try to step outside that boundary that's established, by the way, same thing with kids. Kids, when you step outside that boundary that God has established, He's given you parents, He's given you a mom and dad to set some boundaries. When you start stepping outside of that, that's where the problems come. The safety's inside the boundary. And we start looking over the fence, as we talked about this morning. Well, it looks a lot better over there. And the devil never shows us the end. The devil never shows us the outcome. The boundary established, the basis explained, the blessing expected. Godly women learn silently. They live soberly. But let me give you a third thing. We're almost done. Godly women are lauded supremely. L-A-U-D, laud. It means to honor. It means to praise. Godly women live soberly. They learn silently. And I'm telling you, we need a revival back to our God-given roles. Men and women. Where men act like men. And men do the jobs that men do. And men wear the clothes that men wear. Amen and amen and amen. Where women fall under their God-given role, where the kids fall under their God-given role, we need a revival back to that. Godly women are lauded supremely. Take your Bible, and you know this. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. She is praised by her family. She is praised by her fear. And she is praised by her fruits. She is praised. She is lauded. She is honored. She is praised by her family, by her fear, and by her fruits. Verse number 28. Proverbs 31 verse 28. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. That's what we've talked about. That's what 1 Timothy 2, that's what 1 Peter 3 talks about. Look, beauty is vain. The broided hair, the gold, the apparel, look, all that's going to that's going to burn up one day. It's vain, the Bible says. And again, I think Christian ladies ought to dress supremely classy. I'm for that. But that's not what's preeminent in our lives. One thing about I noticed when I dated my wife, one thing I noticed about my mother-in-law, every time we went out, and I'm thankful for that because my wife does it too, her mother taught her that, but every time we went somewhere, she went dressed. Pastor, I hope she went dressed. No, I mean she went dressed up. She is a classy lady. She goes to Walmart, she goes to the grocery store, she goes to the doctor's office, she goes dressed. Not in her pajamas, not in her bunny slippers. She goes dressed. And boys, even when we were dating, I thought, man, she's classy. She's a classy lady. And I'm thankful because my wife is the same way, but it says favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she's praised by her fear. She's praised by her family. In verse number 28, her children, her husband, many daughters have done virtuously, verse 29, but thou excellest them all. She is praised by her fruits. In verse 29, in verse 31, in verse 30, she's praised by her fear. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. I told you we'd be done there, but can I show you one more thing? This is so. Would you turn to Psalm 127? Don't forget that little phrase. Let her own works praise her in the gates. Okay? Psalm 127. Psalm 127, a song of degrees for Solomon. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the what? Gate. What is it saying? Proverbs 31:31. Let her own works praise her in the gates. And you know what one of those works is? It's her children. Psalm 127. the fruit of the womb is His reward. 1 Timothy 2, verse number 15. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. There's something greater to live for than always having to be the loudest voice. Always having to be heard. There's a greater treasure, a greater reward to live for, and that's the little ones that God gives. That's the husband that God gives you. That's the home that God gives you to make your sanctuary and your safe haven, so that one day those little ones are going to step out into the gate and they're going to talk to the enemy and they're going to fight against the enemy, and that's going to be your reward. By the way, I'll tell you tonight, as a dad, I don't have any greater desire than that my children will fight the enemy one day. I don't care if they do anything else. They don't have to make millions of dollars. They don't even have to take care of me when I'm old, although the Bible tells them they have to. But they don't even have to do that. If they'll fight with the enemy, that's what I want. I want children who, when all is said and done, they're still standing for the Word of God. They're not cowering and capitulating and compromising to this society that makes fun of individuals like us who believe this. And I believe it because it's God's Word. And I don't believe it because I hate women. I believe it because God said it, and because God loved women and God loved men, and God loves order. He loves order. And by the way, we could talk about that with a lot of other things in our nation and our society today. He is a God of order. He's a God of orderliness, not a God of lawlessness. And God help us today. Thyatira had a problem. They had allowed a woman to usurp her authority. And in that, she was teaching false doctrine. By the way, just by allowing a woman to usurp her authority is allowing false doctrine. It's allowing heresy. But they were allowing her to teach, to pull people, to seduce people into idolatry and fornication. And we'll speak about that when we go back either Wednesday or next Sunday. But let's stay true. That's why it's so significant. Because God said, look, I've set order. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, he said in 1 Timothy 2, God has set an order. It's Christ, it's the man, and then it's the lady, it's the wife, it's the woman. And that is not to be usurped. That's not to get out of line. Because if it does, you have problems. No matter our feelings or emotions. Hey, ladies, why don't you take that and help some ladies? Ladies, why don't you take that with somebody at your work tomorrow and show them 1 Timothy 2. They'll probably let you go home early. Dress as you profess. If you want to be godly, then let's act godly. Jezebel wasn't acting godly. She was in the church. She was in the church at Thyatira, probably telling everyone how great she was. But she didn't dress what she professed. She didn't have a sober attitude. She didn't have a sober attraction. And God help us tonight. Amen. Father, thank you for the time you've given us. Father, help us tonight. Help us to be bold and courageous. And Father, help us to be true to your word. Help our ladies tonight. Father, I truly believe our ladies in our society today, not just our ladies in our church, but just ladies in general, females in general in our society, just bear such a great burden in the time that we live in. They're pulled in so many different directions. Society tells them that they're worthless unless they achieve this. And then they have the Bible over here that tells them what's true, and they're caught in the middle. And Father, I just pray that tonight you give them the boldness to submit to what your word says. Father, I pray tonight that you would help us as husbands, that we would be obedient to our role. Father, that we would love our wives the way that Christ loved us. That we would protect, that we would provide, that we would lead, that we would lead in spiritual matters so that they don't feel as if they have to step up and be the leader in spiritual matters. Lord, would you help men with that tonight? Father, even greater than women usurping their authority sometime, I believe it's the men just shirking their own responsibility. And it leaves a void. And many times women feel like that void needs to be filled, and they fill it. So help us as men tonight not to leave the voids. Father, help us during the time of invitation. If we need to do business with you, I pray that we would tonight. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I don't know how the Holy Spirit's worked in your heart tonight, but if He has, I pray that you'd move during the invitation. If you're here tonight and you don't know Christ, it's home folk tonight, and so I would believe everyone's given a testimony, but dear friend, I don't know your heart. And in your heart, you may be struggling and doubting with whether you're truly saved. Friend, don't leave that way tonight. Don't leave struggling and doubting. Get that settled tonight. Ladies, do you ever struggle with placing yourself under the authority that God has placed you under? Maybe tonight you just kneel and pray and ask God to give you help. Hey, men, have you shirked your responsibility and have left a void that needs to be filled? Well, why don't you ask God to forgive you tonight and then go fill that void so that your wife doesn't have to? God help us tonight. Paige is going to play. If you need to come, if you need to kneel right where you're at, the invitation is open. Hey, moms, tonight, let me ask us, are we training our little girls to be little girls, to be young ladies? Because our young men are going to need some good godly ladies one day. Hey, men, are we teaching our young boys to be that, to be boys, to be men, to be masculine? Because our young ladies are going to need that one day. Let's don't raise any Jezebels and any Ahabs. A spineless man and an overbearing woman. Let's don't raise individuals like that. Amen. Thank you so much for your attendance and your attention today. We're going to pray and be dismissed. I'm going to ask Brother Ted Thatcher to pray for us tonight. But see you back Wednesday night at 7. And workers, VBS Teen War, we'll have a meeting Wednesday night after the service. So please, please, please be here. And we'll go over several things Wednesday night. We'll be brief. We'll not be long. But please be here for that. Brother Ted, you dismiss us, please, sir.